Number 255, the wonderful song that every Sunday evening is our open song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus, our Lord, he is our high priest. He's the one, as we studied this morning, our trial lawyer that gets us in trouble. Thank you, Father, for his gift, for his universality, and for his wonders of his love. And now, Father, tonight, as we plan to feast ourselves around the praises of God and around the marvelous chapter on Revelation 6, where you unfold for us the events of life. Father, we pray that in each one of the sessions of this evening, we may glorify Jesus and see his kindness and his gentleness. And our praise, Father, be accepted before heaven. Thank you for the people that have come. Thank you for those who are listening over the internet. Thank you for those who will listen later on as this is put in the archive. Thank you for technology that we can reach across the world with a message of peace and joy and love of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Well, indeed, is wonderful. And is as we study in the evening the book of Revelation, and we already went through the elders praising God, I wonder heaven. I wonder heaven when we listen the diversity of voices and the languages as we study this morning, the great and wonderful expression of God who said that he justified the Jew and the Gentiles together through faith. And now we have an expression from our brothers and sisters from Korea of the praises of God. We are in an awe of admiration of, I'm going to repeat my topic this morning, of the genius of God. He's a genius. He got the impossible and he got the glory for the impossible. Now, in the evening service, we are on the book of Revelation, and tonight, nothing less than one of the hardest chapter, Revelation chapter 6. We're going to pray, and we're going to go over the chapter, and later, after the preaching, will be refreshment served. And I want to assume that you're all Spanish, and you can stay 3-4 hours in church and listen to the Word of God as I enjoy last Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday. They have praises of God with choirs from Sacramento in different places and a different expression. They use accordion for music, guitars for expressions, and violin. And then they sing, and they forgot. They sing for an hour and a half. And I told the pastor of the church how much he wanted me to teach. He said, we asked you to teach until you finish the book. And so I said, are you sure? There's jalapenos in the back. Don't worry about it. So we went on for 3 hours and was good. Don't be afraid. I don't going to be 3 hours with you. Pray. Let's pray. Father, we're going to open the Holy Scripture. We are praying that the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We are praying that my person will go away from the presence of these people, and that the Scripture may shine in a way that will make sense to them. We know that the work of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, and so we pray tonight that you will teach us again. In Jesus we pray, amen. Just briefly, the book of Revelation, as we've been putting the package together, can be summarized so far as we study in chapter 1, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I am always impressed with the statement of people saying it's a book of mystery, and the first verse said is the revelation. Now, if we don't take words as fact, then we're going to make a mess of the Scripture. We have to believe the Scripture, what the Scripture says. in the book Star by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a book of revelation. Don't look for mysteries. It's a book of revelation. So chapter 1 is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most of you know that chapter 2 and chapter 3 is the revelation of Jesus' church. And it's starting from the church of Ephesus to the last church of Revelation, chapter 3, is revealed the character of the church, the weakness of the church, and the strength of the church. Now, chapter 6 to 19 is the revelation of God's agenda. It's the revelation of God's agenda. We live in America, and most of us carry an agenda. And I carry a computerized agenda where you ask me things and I write in the computer. The computer will tell me if that time is available or not, and I will choose for a new time for you, and so on. I have people counseling over the phone, over the internet. For example, Wednesday is my day of counseling through the internet and through phone and through persons, and so I fill my agenda. And so chapter 6 to 19 reveals God's agenda. And the background of God's agenda is that the first and second coming of our Lord Jesus touches each other by means of events. After the first coming until the second coming, there are a series of events. They are one after the other, and they touch it in a synchronized manner according to God's agenda. We read the newspaper, and we see what happened today, and the newspaper maybe tell us what happened yesterday. But the newspaper will never tell us what's going to be tomorrow. But God can, because he wrote his agenda, and he wrote it in a way that is very descriptive. One event began and finished, touching the beginning of the other till the end come. And that is for sure. Now, the chapter 6 set for us 6 events, on one following the other till the end comes. And I'm going to read chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, which is the first event. The Bible said, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." Now, these events are in scrolls. There are 7 scrolls. And the scrolls are wrap up with a seal. At this time, God is opening only the seal so that we can peek inside. From chapter 7 on, God opened one by one those packages that they are there so that we can look on it, what is in each of them. But we're going to see, as we open the seals, to see what is in it. The seal in verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the 4 living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.'" So it's nothing wrong for you and me to look on it. God is inviting you and me to see what the event really is. And the Bible said, "And I look," verse 2, "and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquering." Now, this is the first event, the first page in God's agenda. And this event causes a tremendous disturbance in theology. And people are pulling words like saying, for example, that the man and the horse had a bow and a crown was given. And the word crown is amazing. In the Bible, in the original language, there are 2 words. One is Stephanos, which is a regular word for a crown of a king. Any king will have a crown, Stephanos. And when a crown is celestial, it's a diadem, and so on. Now, we went to England, and we were in Windsor Castle, and we saw the crowns of the kings of England. And the diadems were, you can imagine the millions and millions of pounds that those crowns really cost. Now, the Bible says that this person on the horse received a crown. And some people argue that this is Satan himself, that this is no God at all. But in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to make it short so that in chapter 19, the Bible tells us that Jesus rides a white horse, and a crown was given to him, and he in the crown, a name was written, and that name is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so therefore, the first event that we have here is the opening of picking on the seal after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and he went to heaven. What do I see? I see a man, a king, and a white horse conquering to conquer. You remember Romans chapter 8, that we are more than conquerors. And what the Bible is saying to us is simply this, that after the event of the resurrection, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be built by Jesus himself, and he is the one who is going to go conquering to conquer. It is very interesting that in Matthew chapter 12, from verse 32 on, Jesus relates to himself as one who comes into a house, tie the strong man, and steal what he wants. And what he's saying is that from now on, after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus, through the scripture and through the Holy Spirit, he comes into the world and he picks on people, reveal himself as God and as Savior, and take that person into the kingdom out of the hands of Satan. We studied this morning through the book of Genesis 1:26, Genesis 5:3, the man lost the image of God. And so what Jesus is doing is conquering that and getting the image of God back into people by conquering our sins as he paid off in Calvary's cross. The whole world always looked in a king from a physical point of view, from a conquering event like the Jewish people do. They want a Messiah who dominate the world, the markets and everything, and they become the first industrial nation of the world and so on. But this is not in the scripture. What is in the scripture is that after the resurrection, immediately after the resurrection, Jesus Christ is coming and conquering. Now I want to show you an example of this, the first conquering of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a book about conquering in the book of Acts. If you move your Bible to the book of Acts, and right at the very beginning of the book of Acts, in verse 41, you have the first massive conquering of the Lord Jesus. Never happened before in the history of the world. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 souls were added unto them. Until this point, there were 12 disciples, period. Remember, at one time, there were 500. And Jesus turned around and said, who would like to go? And everybody left except the 12. And then he asked the question, would you like to go? And Peter said, to whom should we go? You have words of everlasting life. And so the first seal reveals in Revelation 6 that there is a massive conquering for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not advancing at the mercy of man. It's advancing at the mercy of God. And that's why we preach the gospel. That's why this choir praise God and sing unto God. Because we know that when God said that person, God's going to conquer that person. It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon God. And you may resist God all you want, but one day he comes and blocks you and then takes you into the kingdom of God. There is not an option. God is not a God of this earth. It's a God of the universe. He created life, and therefore he created lights in our heart in an independent manner. And so when the word of God is preached, when the word of God, like Psalm 23 in Korea was seen, I wonder when we play on the air and some people in Korea turn on the computer and they listen, who is these crazy people? Let's see. And that's the way people start. Nobody wants God anyway. You say, who are they? And they will understand the words inquire in Psalm 23, and some of these words will get into their heart, and they will be wrapped up by the love of God and the conquest of God. God is not at the mercy of man, asking man, "Would you like to be saved?" God says, "Save, save, save, save," and He used the Word of God in a mighty way. Now, from man's point of view, it's like we are wondering and when we're going to come in and so on. This man's point of view, but from God's point of view, He doesn't beg. He said, "That one," and He makes your life miserable. He makes your life in a way that you have no way to turn except to God. And God save you. And how wonderful it is. Seal number one, reveal the power of God. That's what I preach. And doesn't matter if the church is small. Doesn't matter if it's 100 people in the church or whatever. The Lord gave us means to connect to people. That's what I share the gospel on the old people coffee shop. Because I know that some people will be conquered. And we have a family who has been conquered and attended church. And there are 3 or 4 more families. They are so away from the gospel that they say, "You know, we are listening." I told them, "Turn the radio, 8 a.m., 11 o'clock. We don't buy, we don't ask for money. Just turn, you know, people in America, their God is money. So turn the radio and you will see." And they turn the radio, and, "Oh, how wonderful." Some people go in the backyard, in the car, listening in the car. "You know," he said, "when I go on Tuesday, we listen Sunday. It was so good." And I don't say a word because God's going to say it. And one person took me outside and said, "You know, I think we're going to go to church. We are believers. We are away from the Lord for a long time." I said, "Well, when God tells you in your heart, you just come in. We are not asking, we are not trying to lie to you or trying to conquer you. We try to offer you the greatest of all, salvation from God, peace with God. And it's up to you, my fellow. When God wants to, He's just going to roll in. And don't worry about your money," because I know it's a guy with a lot of money in town. "So don't worry about your money. When God wants you, He brings the money to church. Don't worry about that." And boy, their ears, you know, they goes up. God is conquering. The church of God always plays second hand, play behind the scenes. Let's play first class. The church of God is conquering. When this choir was singing, the church of God was conquering. And somebody is going to hear it. When our choir in the morning, last Sunday, was a spectacular. I listened to the tape. I listened through our computer and the archive. And it was magnificent. No wonder Ramil has a great sermon. The choir has inspired you to sing. And it was fantastic. And it's like this. My brother and sister, you can witness to anybody. Don't worry about the person will believe or not. Just witness. Witness to the person. Do not judge the person. Do not say to the person, "Raise your hand, raise your other hand, raise your leg." No, they are not in calisthenics exercise. Just witness the Word of God. Witness with your life and the example of your life and the care of your life. The measure tool for witness is love. There is hope, there is faith, there is love. The greatest of all is love. You love the person as it is. You outpour the love of God in that person. And finally, God will get His way. Seal number one. Thank God that we are not at the mercy of God. We don't open the door to see if the church is going to be affected today or not. The church is going to be affected every time we open the door. This choir is going to be affected every time we have an opportunity to sing. Why? Because the Lord is conquering. Isn't that fantastic? And some people think the book of Revelation is a mystery. Seal number 2, verse 3 and verse 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." So when the Bible says "come and see," we have the authority to look on it. Another horse, fire red, like I like my Testarossas, fire red, Ferraris, come out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Here is another horse, and here is another picture. And this picture is that there will be simultaneously, as the first horse come conquering for the kingdom of God, simultaneously, as this event goes on and on in history, God saving people, there is also the event of Satan disturbing people to the very end. Who is the rider? I thought to myself, and the horse. Who is the rider? He is in a horse that resembled a Testarossa Ferrari, all red, and was granted permission from God to take the horse and take the peace from earth. Who is the one who take peace from earth? Well, let's go to Revelation, to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, and in verse 44, you find from the lips of Jesus the revelation of that horse. Jesus said to the Pharisees these words, "You are of your father the devil." Now, that's very strong for a preacher to say that. You are the father of the devil. I cannot say that because I'm no God, see? But Jesus is God. He can say that. And the desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So nothing less than Satan himself, the one who opposes anything of God, is there. When we go to the Bible, to 1 John now, at the end almost of the Bible, just before Revelation, 1 John, and we take chapter 4, and the verse 3, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already working in the world." And so, therefore, these horse that the Bible picture in verses 3 and 4, the second seal, give an idea that together with a remarkable conquering of the Lord Jesus, taking people from hell, actually, into the kingdom of God, is also the work of Satan, destroying people left and right. And I see that all the time. You take the newspaper, and you read the politicians trying to make peace. There will be no peace. Satan is not interested in peace, whether in Palestine or in Asia, and no place in the world that will guarantee peace by mankind. If man surrenders to God, there will be peace. But man and his nature will never surrender to God. He's rebellious to God. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden, and that's what he inherited in his blood, and that's what he is doing. Remember Genesis 5:3, and Adam had a son in his own image. The genetics of the son Adam is equal to Adam's sin, and therefore everybody born is a sinner, a rebellious person against God. Amazing. And so Satan, that's good to know, that Satan is in business of destroying everybody. We are in business of restoring everybody, of bringing comfort from God to everybody. And Satan is in business of destroying everybody. It is amazing. It is completely amazing. It is absolutely something that you never thought about it. But this is the way that God has his agenda. We don't have to panic. Satan is going to get his prizes in Revelation 20. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. He's going to get his payoff later on. But meanwhile, he will try to cause as much damage as possible. So don't be surprised if children are caught in trouble. Like we saw in television recently, a tremendous, it makes you sick to hear what a man has done to a little 9-year-old girl, makes you in anger. Don't be afraid of all of this. This is the work of Satan in the heart of a man who is not being conquered by God. Event number 3 is verse 5, and in verse 6, I promise at 6:30 I close, and whatever I arrive, I arrive. Verse 5, "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. Now, I like that because God said, now take a look at what I'm going to show you. So I look, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. He was measuring his scales. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for the denarius, and three quarts of barley for the denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, there is verse 7, and excuse me, verse 6, give you a remarkable picture of there will be a time and sequence in the world, a real time, in which there will be a development of business. There will be an area where the world is going to be caught entirely and absolutely in what is wrong. And the world will never know what is right from what is wrong. And business will be the outlook of the world. There will be a completely outlook that this world is going to prosper, this world is going to get to a point of such a prosperity in such a way that the ambition of prosperity will be the only driving force of mankind. Now, we are living in a country like that, where our ambition of prosperity and comfort is unlimited. If you visit other countries, you know. You just cross the borders down south, and you know how different it is. You cross the border in Canada, and you start paying a good money for gasoline. You go to England, and when you pay $8 a gallon of gasoline, then you see people taking the bus and walking like we did, because you can't fork. When you're going to take a shower, the man told me, just push. You have 3 minutes. I thought it was in the Navy again. 3 minutes? Yeah, he said, because we can afford to pay more. Very expensive, the oil. Very expensive, the consumption. When we told the lady, you have a dryer? No, we have no dryer. That's illegal. To have a dryer, that will consumption of gas, and that will be a tax on your head. Man, I'm talking about England. Play so good soccer, no? The British? Of course, we Argentinians beat them, but I tell you, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And here I look in the papers. So I had to buy papers. I said, I want to see the stock market and see how they operate. And man, the ambitions of England is very, very, very great. The ambitions of America, Asia. Look at China, with their ambitions to be the number one country. Know about the gospel? You don't hear the Chinese people saying, we're going to get the gospel and we're going to be the best nation of the world in the gospel. Nowhere. You don't hear it from Korea, even though Korea is evangelized in a tremendous way. You don't hear it from South America. You don't hear it from Europe. Everybody is buying and selling because that's the way to be. It's going to go be that way. Don't panic. That's how God is going to let the people be. God's going to let them do that so that the people will be fashioned in a way that they even don't know. We are so programmed to prosperity in America that we never realize that. Never realize that. Everything has to be first class. Everything has to be in this way and the other. I'm dealing with three architects in order to get a kind of a drawing for our future church and the event that we have to move from here and so on. And they said, where do we put the stained glasses? Nowhere. No stained glasses? No stained glasses. where do we do this? No. We just want some rooms, some designs, and I want to know how much costs so I can tell the deacons, talk to your wife, and bring the money. That's all. you know? He said, well, but don't you want to build like a cathedral? No. If you have the studies of the cathedral in Germany, the Gothic cathedrals were built on the error. The higher you go in a building, closer you get to God. I am a civil engineer, so I know exactly what happened. I don't want to fool myself. Are we going to go to the Tower of Babel again? Listen, this chapter 6 of Revelation gets you smart. Gets you smart in teaching your children that the prosperity of this world, that is not the key. The only prosperity is how much we know the gospel and how much we walk in the gospel and how much we believe God and how much we dedicate ourselves to God. That's what life really is. Now, you can be a doctor. You can be a garbage collector in California, $66,000 a year. That's all right. That is nothing to do with this. God said, don't be caught in the passion of business, because if you get caught in that, you may lose the vision of the gospel. Amazing. Now, my time is over. Next time, I finish the chapter. But I want to tell you this. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the Lord said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 13, the Bible said that he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said these words, occupy till I come. See, we are not here in this world. It's good that we have this information in the book of Revelation so that our antennas are always up and we look and we read the paper with no panic. I witness in the community and they are zero interest. I know that. I keep on witnessing happy, you know. I keep being loving. I pay the coffee for this guy. I pay a donor for this other so they cannot throw me out because I pay some donors. And so I earn with respect my way to witness. But I tell you this, the Bible says, what is our worry then? To understand all this revelation, oh, God has just given us a hint. The horse is conquering, the other is making a mess, and the other is getting the people excited about the wrong thing. But the Lord said, now you believers, please occupy till I come. And Luke 19, verse 13. Now occupy about what? Occupy about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So choir, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Because you come from different churches, you come from different places, and it takes an effort, and it's expensive, and take your expenses. You come here to sing to the Lord. That's being occupied till I come. I left my engineering career to dedicate to preach the gospel. Why? Because I want to be occupied till I come. And you as a witness in your home, your job, the things you have, this is not the thing. The thing is, I'm going to be busy and be the best witness I can till he come. And as we fulfill this, then God's going to bless us. The buildings is incidental. The house we live is incidental. The work we do is incidental. The key is how we live our life. Do we live our life holy before the Lord so they can shine and the horse can conquer in and conquer. Thank you, Father. Tonight we have received just a glimpse of the world future. Thank you, Father, that this world had never seen people busy about the gospel with no other interest than to live in this world peacefully and with joy. And each time a nation is raised, like Germany was, and Holland, and England, and Lord, Korea, how blessed we are when people turn to you. We see a different lifestyle. We see a different nation altogether. But Father, we know that this will never happen completely in the world because this horse, this Satan, is in business of disturb us. Lord, thank you that at the end, you are the conquering one. And so help us every day, not to look upon ourselves, but to look upon the ministry that you put in our hand and to shine for you until you come. Lord, cause us to occupy till you come. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.